releasing the stress. We were born to shine.
You energize me. I've never felt this before. Oh, and it's blinding. Brighter than the sun at its core. This heart that is beating with love worth redeeming. A fire to be something more. I glow in the dark, you were made of light. Glow all day, glow all night. Like the stars up in the sky, we keep on shining, you and I. I glow in the dark, you were made of light. Glow all day, glow all night. We shine, you and I.
Winters, Christina Renee, Ayakunle, Falama, Rick and Melissa Wood, Michelle Morgan, and Ebony and Erica from Tulala One on YouTube. We have celebrity guests, music, entertainment, spirituality, sports, fitness, health, wellness, beauty, hot topics, education, entrepreneurship, and more.
Yeah, season 3 of the Shade Champagne.
Good evening, everyone. That was Family Force 5 with Glow in the Dark. Welcome to Season 3, Episode 39 of the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio. Every episode is available on iTunes. Search the Sade Champagne Show and you can download them for free. Also, my Sade Champagne YouTube channel is another place where you can listen to the show afterwards. Thanks to everyone for tuning in all around the globe. All the episodes of my show are available at blogtalkradio.com/grindhard_radio. I've also posted the direct link to this episode on my Twitter and Facebook pages, so you can tune in at any time. Thank you to Travis Miller for creating and producing my show's theme song, and to Scott Swoosh for mixing it. Thanks to Kata Mafiaso for helping me to create my brand new radio drop. If this is your first time listening, I'm a professional musical artist, performer, inspirational speaker, and entrepreneur. I have created, directed, and executive produced almost 300 charitable and inspirational events, including my popular Power of a Dream Tour. I love mentoring, coaching, authentically being myself, and using my platform to encourage, empower, and bring out the gold in others. Tonight's celebrity guests include my friends, actress, producer, model, and TV host Amelie McKendry, and published author, speaker, producer, talk show host, and owner of LVGPR, Elvira Guzman. Elvira has represented 30 celebrities, participated in 20 award shows, landed 10 major deals, and produced 10 television and radio shows. The achievements of LVGPR have been recognized by the media, including Sister to Sister Magazine and Urban Influence Magazine. Elvira has been featured in Latina Magazine as one of the Future 15 Latino Entrepreneurs. She is also the first Mexican-American to be featured in a reality show on BET for her client show, Being Terry Kennedy. Amelie McKendry has recently appeared in high-profile TV shows such as Law & Order SVU, Orange is the New Black, and the popular HBO miniseries, The Jinx, The Life and Deaths of Robert Durst. She also made recent appearances in the feature films Ocean's 8, Wonder Wheel, directed by Woody Allen, Laser Town with Jason Masick and Sarah Baszler, Bubble Girl with Abigail Hawke from Blue Bloods, Manhattan Night with Adrian Brody, Norman with Richard Gere, and Marshall with Chadwick Boseman and Kate Hudson, and is an associate producer for the Kids Menu movie. Castmate Veronica Esquivel Winters brought a new Wellness Made Simple segment, and castmates Rick and Melissa Wood brought a new Living with Fearless Joy segment. I also brought a new Charity Spotlight segment where I'll be sharing about the Los Angeles Dream Center's Human Trafficking Shelter. This past weekend, I was thankful to be performing at the National Alliance of Mental Illness, aka NAMI's 2017 walk at the Ventura Promenade. There were hundreds, if not almost 1,000 people who showed up to participate in this event. I'm very passionate about mental health and mental health awareness and helping people who are struggling. And that was such a blessing to be able to be there and support this phenomenal charity. Also, I am thankful to have performed at St. Matthew's United Methodist Church annual women's retreat with my best friend Lisa Lewalt, who was the keynote speaker. We had a blast, and we are thankful to have been a part of it. And me and my artists are always booking new shows and performances. We love traveling, and if you're looking to bring me, Power of a Dream Tour, or any of our award-winning, critically acclaimed artists, mentors, or speakers to your city or event, please email me at sadechampagnemusic@gmail.com. That's sadechampagnemusic@gmail.com for more details. Check out my Facebook page, Sade Champagne, to see my full schedule. Just look under events. Lastly, thank you to everyone who watches, you share, and subscribe to all my new videos. I'm constantly writing new pieces and creating new songs and content, and I'm going back into the recording studio soon with my music producers, The Quakes. To find out more about my musical journey and how you can be involved, check out GoFundMe.com/SadeChampagneMusic. That's GoFundMe.com/SadeChampagneMusic. I'm live tweeting and posting on Facebook all show long, and I want to know your thoughts. Tweet me at SadeChampagne, Facebook me at SadeChampagne, Instagram I am SadeChampagne, hashtag SadeChampagneShow, or GHR to join in the conversation. Shout out to everybody who tweets me, Facebooks me, Instagrams me, YouTube me, email me. I am forever grateful for your support and encouragement.
Time for our celebrity guest interview. This beautiful friend of mine just celebrated a birthday too. In her late teens, Elvira Guzman worked two jobs at Steve Harvey's companies while working towards degrees in political science and law and society at the University of Southern California. By her early 20s, Elvira was a director of publicity for Harvey's companies and a college graduate with honors. After 9 years when she departed Harvey's companies to start her own, Elvira held the titles of PR and branding director for Steve Harvey, the Steve Harvey Radio Network, and the Steve Harvey Suit Collection. She launched LVG PR, one of the fastest-growing PR and branding companies serving Hollywood and beyond, to offer her unique skills to a broader audience. Elvira has represented 30 celebrities, participated in 20 award shows, landed 10 major deals, and produced 10 television and radio shows. The achievements of LVG PR have been recognized by the media, including Sister to Sister magazine and Urban Influence magazine. Elvira has been featured in Latina magazine as one of the featured Latino entrepreneurs. She is also the first Mexican-American to be featured in a reality show on BET for her client's show, Being Terry Kennedy. She also published the book, Your Blueprint, an interactive guide to remembering your true purpose in life, and has a brand new TV show. Hi, Elvira. How are you doing?
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I'm doing great.
What a joy to have you as a celebrity guest for season 3 of the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio Network.
Thank you, and congratulations.
It has been such a joy knowing you for the past few years, and I just think you're such a phenomenal woman, and I'm happy to always see how we can work together in any way. And so you just celebrated a birthday. What did you do?
Thank you. Yes, I did. I had a little get-together at the beach with family and friends, and it was really nice.
Awesome. You just continue to get younger and more amazing every single year.
Thank you. You know, we age like fine wine.
That's right. Exactly. So for those who are just getting to know you, how did you get your start in the entertainment industry?
I started as an intern at a hip-hop radio station, and after my 3 months were up, I just knew that I wanted to work there, so I wrote Steve Harvey a letter just thanking him for the impact he had made in my life, and he offered me a job, and from that moment on, I worked for him for 9 years.
Wow. And that is phenomenal to think about, because you literally just took, you know, just took a risk out there and wanted to see, you know, just share with someone how they had changed your life, and it turned into an amazing opportunity.
Absolutely. That's one of the things that I teach when I go and I lecture at universities, that we must be grateful. We have to tell people the impact that they've made in our lives, and a lot of times that's what opens the doors for us.
Mm-hmm. I definitely believe in that, because I feel like when you have the opportunity to be able to share with someone how you've changed, how they've changed your life, I feel like between telling them and sharing what you have received from them are like two of the most powerful things.
Absolutely, I definitely agree.
So when did you know that you wanted this to be your life?
Say, once I graduated USC, I had to make a hard decision whether I was going to go to Columbia Law School or if I was going to relocate to New York to help Steve and his manager, Rashawn, start the Steve Harvey Radio Network. And that's when I decided that I wasn't going to live for anyone else, and I was going to live for me. Because, you know, a lot of us in our community, especially for minorities, our parents encourage us to be doctors and lawyers because they feel that that would be a safe route. And for me, I just never wanted to live a safe life. I wanted to live a happy and fulfilled life. So that's really when I made the decision to stick it out with entertainment, especially because I was doing so well already.
Mm-hmm, definitely. You faced a lot of challenges in your family growing up. May you please share about your upbringing, and then also to the people that are listening, especially kids and teens who have experienced similar struggles as us, about how they can rise above their circumstances.
Yeah, definitely. Both of my parents were incarcerated when I was 14 years old. I was a freshman in high school, and that really impacted me. I was left feeling abandoned, not wanted, and I really didn't know why God had given me that obstacle at that moment. But now in hindsight, I know that God did it for me, because that's really when I had to make a decision and say, okay, am I really going to do this? Am I going to work hard? And from that moment on, I started getting straight A's, and I ended up getting a 4.2 GPA throughout my high school career, and I really got into sports, and I got a full-time job. And so for me, really what saved me was work, sports, and getting good grades. And so, yeah, if anyone out there is dealing with something similar, it doesn't have to be having both parents in jail or having one parent in jail. It could be anything. If you were physically abused or sexually abused, or if you dealt with any form of abandonment, I just want everyone to know that you can make it, and you're never alone, because God is always with us. And really, that's all we need.
That's really powerful. And when I mentor students as well, I love sharing with them how, and you understand this, we can't change what environment we grew up in. We can't change our family upbringing. We can't change how we grew up. But we do have the power to be able to say we're going to show up to our lives every single day. When I go to school, I'm going to give my 100% best because I do have control and power over that, and I'm going to take control in those areas of my life that can help me and empower me. I'm not just going to give up because of what's happening in my home life or my family life.
Yeah, I think that's really when we have to dig in deep and really go for it. My mom would always tell me that education was the way out of poverty or out of any bad situation. And so I definitely listened to that, and that's when I was encouraged to really go for it and get straight A's.
So how do you stay true to yourself in an industry that is known for tearing people down and having others compromise who they are for temporary success?
It really begins with the foundation that our parents gave us. I always knew that that type of life was not mine, and I mean drugs or you know, how they call it, the Hollywood couch or whatever. I just knew that that wasn't me. There's plenty of people that have to succumb to that because they don't believe in themselves. They don't love themselves. But luckily, I've never had that issue.
So what you're saying is it also has a lot to do with your self-esteem and your confidence, because when you believe in yourself and you know your worth and value, you're not going to tolerate a lot of bullcrap or feel like you have to stoop to certain levels.
Absolutely. And you also have to be okay with getting no's. That's when people's self-esteem starts to get low because they take it personal. Out of every 10 auditions or out of 10 magazines that you want to be in or 10 TV shows, odds are you might get one. But a lot of people, they don't have that resilience because maybe they had everything go their way their entire life. And the first time they get a rejection or they get a no, then they don't know how to deal with it. And that's when they start to do things that compromise their dignity in order to get a yes. But if you know the game and you believe in yourself and you love yourself, you're just going to wait it out for the right opportunity.
That's really good. So let's talk about your publicity company, LVG PR. How did it come about, and who are some of your clients?
Well, it came about when I was 21 years old and I was living in New York, and Steve Harvey set me on two meetings, one with Steve Stout, who is the leading branding guy. His clients are Jay-Z, Justin Timberlake, Kodak, Spearmint, I mean, the biggest names. And he sent me on a meeting with Margaret Brito, one of the biggest publicists in New York City. She represented at the time Mariah Carey, Stephon Marbury, and a few others. And when I went in those meetings, I just fell in love with it because I had never been exposed to that in my 4 years at that time in Hollywood. I had no idea about those professions. And when I learned about it, because I realized that you're able to help people in Hollywood, it's not just about booking celebrities or producing segments, that there was an outlet where I could help. And that's when I decided to start my company. And I asked Steve if he would support me and in resigning and going back to LA to start. And he did, but he said he wouldn't let me resign. He wanted me to continue to work with him. And I said, absolutely, of course. And so he was actually my first client. And then from then on, I started getting clients like Music Soul Child, Terry Kennedy, Code of Black Films. And that's when the TV show for BET manifested.
Wow. And so where do you see LVG PR going in the coming months and years?
Well, I'm hoping that we're going to continue to get clients that are helping the community. I no longer have the desire to just help music artists or movies that are not going to help others. So right now my clients are ministers. They're people who are doing tours that are helping people who've lost their hair due to cancer and alopecia. I represent doctors that help people who have those illnesses do this alternative route so that way they don't need chemo or all of those bad things that are just killing people's immune systems. And so I see my company getting more of those types of clients.
And you know, I've noticed this about you for the few years that we've been getting to know each other. You're very passionate about helping others. You're very passionate about not only about using your influence for good, you know, and not just saying, I only want to have famous people. I only want to, you know, have a big name, but you also have a lot of substance and depth. You know, like you said, you speak at universities. You speak to, you know, I've seen you speak in all different kinds of places for people that need it. Have you always been that way, and what has, you know, brought you to that belief system?
No, I wasn't that way. When I was working in corporate America with Steve Harvey, it was just about money. It was just about climbing the corporate ladder, because that's what we're taught. We're taught to strive and get to the top. But it wasn't until I had my awakening when I was 29 years old that I decided to dedicate my life to God, and everything I do has to help others or I just refuse to do it.
Wow, that's incredible. And I feel like through that, the trajectory of your life has gone even greater, you know what I mean? Because you are able to live in so much more peace now, and through that, you're really, you know, pursuing your purpose.
Absolutely. I feel like now I'm actually alive versus struggling to live. What a lot of people don't get is sometimes people feel that if you have money, then you'll be happy. And that's not true. My bank account was full. I didn't even have time to go shopping to spend any of it. I didn't have time to go to family functions. I definitely didn't make time to mentor others or to go and do speaking engagements where I'm not getting paid. That would have been an absolute no-no. But now I realize that it's okay to still have money in your bank. Of course, we all need money to live. But that's not my priority. My priority is in helping others and seeing what I could do to be of service.
When you think about people like Gary Vee and Les Brown, Tony Robbins, and others, you know, they always share about the importance of being able to say, what can we give to the world? You know, what can we offer, as opposed to saying, oh, it's all about Sade. What can everybody do for me? Me, me, me. And so I feel like you have that perspective as well.
Most definitely. It's opened more doors than I would have ever anticipated. Because what we all have in common is God, whether people want to realize it or not, that's what's truth, and that's what's going to open doors. And the people that are the highest up know this, and you start to gravitate towards them, or they start to be gravitated towards you. And that's when real greatness happens.
So you are also a published author of the self-help book, Your Blueprint, an Interactive Guide to Remembering Your True Purpose in Life. What made you write this book, and what does it entail?
That was my first book that I released about 4 years ago, and my intent was to help others create their blueprint, because once you know who you are, who you have been, who got attracted to your life, it's easier to realize what your purpose is, and it's easier to move forward at that point. And so I felt that that book was definitely necessary, because there's a lot of people that are walking around aimlessly with no goals, no purpose, no ambition. They don't know what their calling is. And I definitely feel that they needed it. And most recently, I released my book this January called Purpose, Awaken and Succeed.
Yes,
and
that's
what
right.
What that book is, you know, I'm a reader. I love to listen to lectures. I have some of the best and most successful mentors. And so I wanted to put all of that information in a book so that people don't have to go and read hundreds of books like I did, or get 14 to, you know, 15 mentors that will give them information. I put all of that in that small book so that people could get it and start to pursue their calling now.
Awesome. So, listeners, you hear that she has two books that she has published. And so let everyone know where they can get both of them, especially your newest one. But I think they should get both of them.
Thank you. They could get my book on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, eBay, everywhere online. Just type in my name, Elvira Guzman, and all of my books will show up.
Wonderful. I love that you're always dreaming and reaching higher and further. Please tell us about your brand new TV show.
Yeah, so it's an extension of my book. So I was mentioning to you that only 10% of people actually read books. So I know if I want to get my message out there to the masses, that I needed to reach people in television, film, and motivational speaking in addition to my book. So every week, that I have my show, it's, I take a chapter out of my book, and I book two celebrities, one for my English segment and one for my Spanish segment, and we talk about it with the intent to help the audience. So I'm not asking the audience questions. I'm sorry. I'm not asking my guest about their personal lives or business or anything like that. I'm asking them questions that the audience needs in order to heal. Mm-hmm. And so it's been really great, and I'm having an awesome time, and I've been getting some really awesome bookings, so I feel very fortunate.
Mm-hmm. And where can people tune into your show?
They could tune in at WCOBM.TV, or they could simply go to YouTube and put in my name, and all of my past segments will pop up.
Awesome. And I'm going to share the link to your show because I know I'm following you on Twitter and all your social media. So I am going to share the link for everyone to be able to tune in as well.
Thank you.
So how do you handle setbacks?
It's really difficult. I think it's hard for all of us. But what I know for sure now is that nothing is going to be presented in my life if it wasn't going to be for my good. So even, for instance, breakups, severing ties with people you do business with, all of that is for our good. It's hard to create a new normal or to try and move on, but the reality is that everything that happens, God has intended, and you have to just go with the flow versus trying to hold on to something that's not intended for you anymore. So I write in my book that even with relationships or business, personal, family, everything is for a season. Nothing is meant to be forever. And so we need to realize that. And once we feel that that person is no longer needed in our life or they've converted to negative energy, then we need to be okay with letting them go. And when it comes to setbacks and other things, I definitely don't believe in failure. I believe that everything that happens is so that we can learn for our next project and so that we don't have to go through that again. And so I don't look at things as kind of setbacks per se. I look at them as like, okay, God's not ready for me to do that quite yet, but let me put this file away because I know it's going to be useful in a year or 2 years. And it always happens like that.
That's powerful. I love, one of my favorite quotes I love to say is that life is not happening to us, life is happening for us.
I definitely agree, 100%.
So you were leading into my next question when you were talking about relationships. What is some romantic advice that you have learned over the years?
To date at your own level. A lot of us have the tendency to want to help others, but that shouldn't be in our relationship. If we're a 10, don't date a 6 because you're going to be disappointed. You're going to think that you could change someone else. And the reality is we can't change anyone. Either they are who you need them to be or it's just not going to work. And when you date someone who's at your level, they will help you because there's no greed or jealousy, anything like that. And so instead of being in competition with your partner, you become a partner with your partner. And that's what is ideal.
That's really good advice. That's really, really good advice. And I think it's powerful because I released a video about this recently, you know, on my Woman to Woman Diaries, is that no more projects. You know, I know guys have been known to do this too, but especially as women and girls, we always want to take on a project. And it's good for, like, your career and your dreams, but not when it comes to a person. Because like you said, which is so 100% true, is that you cannot make someone into what you want them to be. They have to already be accelerating in that direction. And like you said, to be with someone who is on your level and going to where you want to go, that's huge.
Yeah, definitely. I don't believe that opposites attract. I think that that's a very hard lie. Like, for instance, with me, I love to read books. I love to drink nice red wine. I love to go to fancy dinners. I love to go to the beach. If I meet someone that doesn't like wine, that doesn't like to read, that doesn't like the beach, odds are we're going to be in constant battle or we're going to be in constant judgment. And that's not something that I'm willing to deal with at this stage in my life.
That's great wisdom. Great wisdom. So what words of wisdom and encouragement would you give to anyone with a dream, especially if they want to follow in your footsteps?
My first book that I never published was Dream Plus Plan Equals Success. We have to create a plan. We have to take action in order for things to manifest. And it's never, we're never going to feel like this is the right time. When I look back to think of when I started my company, when I was so young, I ended up launching it at when I was 22 years old. Most people were telling me that I was too young, that I was crazy. But in reality, I wasn't. As soon as I started, I became the fastest growing publicity company in Hollywood. My income tripled and things went extremely well. Had I listened to those naysayers or those negative people or those jealous people, I wouldn't have the financial freedom that I have now. And so I would say go for it. And you're never going to feel like it's the right time because we always have those negative doubts and thoughts in our mind. But just go for it. But before, of course, create a plan, surround yourself with the right people, and then go for it. And just don't look back.
That's incredible advice. And so you're similar to me in the sense that we have our hands in a lot of things, but they all join together in our core. You know, or do you feel that it's important for someone to focus on one thing that they want to do for their, that they're passionate about, or do you feel like if they can handle it, they can take on multiple projects at once? You know, like how do you stay balanced with everything that you do?
Yeah, I definitely believe that we have the capability to do much more than we believe ourselves to be. They say that we only use 5 to 10% of our brain. We have the capability of so much more. I know with me, if I were to just do one thing, I would be extremely bored. But that just comes with a lot of training. From the time I was in middle school, I was already working at my parents' store. And then when they left, I immediately started playing sports and I had a full-time job. So by the time I got to USC, where my peers had never had a job before, and they're thinking that 12 units is so much, I was taking 20 units, and I had 2 full-time jobs. So it really just depends on who you are, the type of training that you've had, to see how much you could take on. Because I definitely know people that have publicity companies, and that's the only thing they have, and they're struggling to make it. Whereas with me, I would be bored if I just had a publicity company.
So you think it's important for a person to know who they are and also if they desire to be able to take on more than one task at once, to know how to master that and, like you said, to get the training that they need, you know, to be able to do that.
Absolutely. The more that you do, the more that you're training your brain. Like, for instance, with me, it's very easy for me to memorize things and to be able to spit it out and but it's only because I've trained my brain to do that. And because I read a lot, I listen to a lot of lectures. My education didn't stop when I graduated USC. It's continued. There's some people that have not read one book since they graduated over 20 or 15 or 10 years ago. And, of course, they can't compete with someone like me that's been on a continuous educational journey. So we have to really know who we are, know our capabilities. And if you haven't read a book or if you haven't educated yourself since then, never too late to start. Don't feel bad. Just get on it.
That's really good. And I believe that, that we can definitely train our brains. We can open ourselves up to be able to learn more, to accelerate more, to see the positive in things. You know, I'm a real big believer in that. And so as we wrap up our time together, I could chat with you forever because you are just so fun, so enlightening, and your spirit and your energy are just so warm and encouraging. Please share with everyone how they can stay updated with your happenings on social media and how they can hire your publicity company, LVG PR.
Oh, well, thank you so much. You're so sweet. I could talk to you forever also. You have an amazing spirit. People could reach out to me on social media at Elvira Guzman LA. And if anyone's searching for a publicity firm, they could email me at elvira@lvgpr.com.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Elvira, for being on the Sade Champagne Show for Season 3. And I look forward to staying in contact with you. I look forward to seeing your shows, your books, and all that you're doing, because I know you're just going to continue to flourish and bloom every single place you go, and I'm thankful to have a friend in you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that, and likewise.
Time for a song break. This is my brand new cover single that is available as a free MP3 download on my SoundCloud or Facebook Music page. Here is my Hallelujah cover that was recorded in the studio recently with my music producers, The Quakes, whom you can also hear in the harmonies and background vocals. You're listening to the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio.
I love you, Lord, with all my heart, giving me a brand new start. I just want to sing this song to you. It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, minor fall, the major lift, my heart and soul are praising, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I know that you're the God above, you're feeling me with grace and love. I just want to say thank you to you. You pulled me from the miry clay, giving me a brand new
Are you looking for a dynamic musical artist, performer, host, or inspirational speaker for your next event? What about a mentor, vocal instructor, or workshop leader for your school, company, or seminar? Contact Sade Champagne for countless professional services that are sure to fit your particular need. She is an in-demand, award-winning, and critically acclaimed musical artist, performer, inspirational speaker, and entrepreneur who is invited all around the world. She is known for having a powerful voice, turning ideas into action, creating, directing, and executive producing popular charitable and inspirational events, and bringing out the gold in others. Her services are for all ages, backgrounds, and environments. Contact Sade Champagne at SadeChampagneMusic@gmail.com. That's SadeChampagneMusic@gmail.com to book her for your next event or project.
This is Veronica Esquivel Winters from the Wellness Made Simple segment, and thank you for listening to the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio.
Welcome back to the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio. Our next celebrity guest is on the line, my good friend, actress, producer, model, and TV host, Emily McKendry. Her efforts and talent have brought her ever-increasing work with numerous roles in film, television, and on the web. She is a member of SAG-AFTRA and recently appeared in high-profile TV shows such as Law & Order, SVU, Orange is the New Black, and the popular HBO miniseries The Jinx, The Life and Deaths of Robert Durst. She also made recent appearances in the feature films Ocean's 8, Wonder Wheel, directed by Woody Allen, Laser Town with Jason Masick and Sarah Baszler, Bubble Girl with Abigail Hawke from Blue Bloods, Manhattan Night with Adrian Brody, Norman with Richard Gere, and Marshall with Chadwick Boseman and Kate Hudson. She is an associate producer for the Kids Menu movie, which is coming out soon to film festivals. Hi, Emily. How are you?
Hi, Sade. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. We are so glad to have you as a celebrity guest on season 3 of the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio.
I am so honored to have this interview with you all, since I'm always on the East Coast. This will be in LA, right?
Yes, but it airs all over the world.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much.
Awesome. So you have people listening in from places even like Canada, Argentina, to Norway, to Africa. So we're having a good time.
That's exciting.
So how did you first get into the entertainment industry?
Yeah, my mother, actually, she started out as a dancer, and she got my sister and I involved in dancing when we were 3 years old. And then I got into musical theater. And I knew when I was around 8, 9 years old, I wanted to move to Hollywood, pack my bags, and get into actually more producing and directing, not necessarily acting right away. And I moved to California for college. And right after college, that's when I went into TV and film for my acting.
Wow.
So at first, I didn't even know I was, you know, going to go into the acting side. And my sister kept pursuing musical and theater. She went to New York and I went to L.A. And she went more into the Broadway direction. But it's nice because we pretty much help each other out a lot going back and forth from New York and L.A.
Right. And so which of all your different talents that you do with singing, dancing, acting, producing, modeling, et cetera, which of those do you enjoy the most?
I enjoy acting. I love breaking down the character, playing different roles. It's just who I am and what I love. Eat, sleep, breathe acting. I just love it. If that's what I could do every single day of my life, that's what I would do.
Definitely. What has been your favorite project you've worked on so far?
My favorite project, I would have to say, was working on the Woody Allen film, Wonder Wheel. It was a great experience, just because that's the first time I ever worked with Woody. You know, it was a smaller featured part. I can't really give too much information. It's confidential.
Right.
But it was a great opportunity, and we filmed right in Brooklyn, actually, by the water.
Oh, fantastic.
But,
that's
Woody,
amazing.
Yeah, Woody was a great director to work with, and, you know, you don't really know how the shoot's going to go until you're on set, but I'm one of those actresses that, you know, I studied young with Meisner and method acting. You know, all actors go where they learn all different styles, and then they, you know, kind of pick which works for them. But I always stick to those two. And when I get on set, you know, I think it's my improv experience. You kind of just get out there and go with it. But he's very creative, very nice guy to work with. And also Laser Town, I would say, just shooting in L.A., this is a short film that's coming out soon, and I loved working with Jason Masick and also the director, Marlon Abdurazak. It is coming out this summer, believe it or not.
Yay.
They produced it with Waterwell Pictures. Yeah, so we're really excited. It, It was very easy, though, getting cast. I pretty much was playing myself. They picked me because I looked like Sarah's mother. So sometimes, you know, even when you have an audition and you're working your butt off, sometimes it's based on the look as well. So it does help.
Definitely. How do you handle setbacks?
I would say, you know, starting at a young age in dance, musical theater, and playing sports, I think everything has helped me as far as facing rejection. I mean, everybody thinks, oh, it's just the entertainment business that's hard. You know, any industry that you go in, everybody faces rejection, but entertainment bar. If you can't handle that, I realize I had some friends in the industry that were very talented, but they just didn't have, you know, the business background, and they just weren't strong enough to take the rejection. And I think what keeps me going is when you love what you do and that's all you think about, you just can't give it up. And I've been doing it so long that I guess I'm just a fighter, and I love it so much that I just keep going. I love it. But yeah, you definitely have, when you go through that, you know, I've had a lot. When you have that one that's really hard, I think some people, it can destroy them, but me, it pushes me to work harder, and it makes me want to show those people, wow, look at me now. Look at where I am now. There was a time I auditioned for a role, and I did amazing, and I, you know, you leave the audition, and you sometimes when you think it was your best audition, it's the ones that you think you did horrible are the ones you book, which is kind of interesting. But yeah, I've had some setbacks, and you know, I look back at those and I'm proud of myself because you have to really love what you're doing and, you know, not let that get in your way.
That's really good. How do you stay true to yourself in an industry that is known for tearing people down and having others compromise who they are for temporary success?
I love that you said that, because just in my personal life and, you know, my day job I do on the side of acting, I get so many people that ask me that, and they're always like, they look at me and they're like, it really goes to show you can't judge a book by its cover when they talk to me, because they look at me and I'm so tall and blonde, and I don't think that way about myself. I come from a small town in Buffalo. I guess it's how I was raised. I'm very down to earth, and I just never would change for who I am. That's just how I was brought up. So maybe just how I was brought up and where I come from. I'm a well-rounded person, and I've traveled a lot, and I'm very spiritual. So as far as like me as an actress and seeing how other people are, I could never change for who I am. It's, you know, I'm just a normal person like everyone else.
That's really good.
But I would say, you know, me, yeah.
No, go ahead.
No, I would say me being a spiritual person, I was born and raised strict Catholic, actually. And my parents are very open to other religions. They accept us if we want to break into another religion. And I'm more finding my ways through Christian. So I'm kind of back and forth, but I've always been spiritual in my own ways, and that really helps me through this journey of entertainment.
So you feel that your spirituality and your faith, and not necessarily religion, but like you said, your spirituality, your faith, your relationship with God is what really empowers you to stay true to who you are.
Yes. And I don't know if it's just because my two favorite acting coaches, Frank Rossi, he was my acting coach in Buffalo. He was very well known in Los Angeles and was personal coaches for a lot of celebrities. like Jesus, I'm person of interest. And he's a Christian acting coach, and so is my acting coach in New York City, Niall Lynn. So the way I study even with them is in a spiritual way as well, in method and miser methods. Yeah, so it definitely helps.
To another friend of mine, and I was asking him, like, being an actor, you know, actors can get, which is one of the reasons people can get caught up in different types of addictions, you know, in the entertainment industry, is because they don't know how to separate that character they've been taking on for so long from their real life person. And so, you know, one of my friends, he had shared with me, who loves acting, and I think you hit the nail on the head, that through your spirituality, through your faith, that's how the person's able to stay true at their core, and you can take that character, you know, and give it all that you have and study it. And, you know, like you said, you love method acting and method training, but then when that character is done, or when you go home for the day, you're still able to return to who you are, so you don't have to deal,
it's,
you know,
true.
So it's not the same type
and
of challenges.
I'm glad.
Of actor, yeah.
No, it is so true, and I'm so lucky I found these two acting coaches, because, you know, with any, like, teaching you go through in any industry, you're going to find good teachers and bad teachers, and I would, you know, I was trying to find myself while I was in the industry, you know, even even when you think you know yourself, I feel like I've grown so much as a person, but I have to thank my acting coaches as well, because while I was studying other styles, you know, everybody, like, has their own style. There's Uta Hagen, you know, Stanislavski, and when I was training with them, I'm so glad I found who I am and where I need to be in this industry. And those two methods have helped me so much as far as what you're saying. It definitely does, being spiritual in your own way. And when you're breaking down the character, you know, when I get a script, a lot of actors will memorize the lines. I have to read the whole script and then go over my character, do a character breakdown. You know, I start out, where am I coming to? I always feel like I need to know as a character where I'm coming from before I go into the script and also going to. And as far as, like, that character breakdown, there's a lot of spirituality within that too. So I have taken other styles and implemented that into those two, so which kind of makes it my own as well. But every actor, you know, it, sometimes even when you think you have it, you know, sometimes it can take actors a long time. I'm still learning, and, you know, I feel like I'm definitely honing my craft now, and I'm very excited to see where this journey takes me.
Definitely. And so to our listeners, you know, as you've been hearing with Emily during her interview, you know, mentorship is very important and coaching is very important. Whatever you desire in life, there are people who will be willing to coach you and support you and mentor you, because no one can do it alone. You know, no one is an island, but instead we are all a village. And so you talked about some of your current projects that are coming up, but what more can you share with us about any of projects you're currently working on or what you have coming up?
So Laser Tongue was the one I just worked in Los Angeles. We're all excited about that one. Do you want me to tell you a little about that one?
Yes.
So it's written, produced, and directed by Jason Masick and Marwan Abdurazak. Pretty much it's a small-town sheriff who must navigate complex relationships while protecting a precious commodity from the outside world. It's a science fiction. It's Western as well. We're going to do a premiere screening in L.A. in the summer, and then it's going to hit the film festivals in the fall. I am also starring. I'm very excited, and it's funny you talked about mentoring and coaching, and I never would have thought to work with my acting coach, and I was an associate producer of the Kids Menu for my acting coach that produced and starred in a movie with an actor from The Sopranos. And he's well known in New York. But she contacted me to audition, and she wants me to star in her next film she's producing. And it's Niall Lynn, and that's also my acting coach, and also with Mayan Schneider. Mayan is an amazing person to work with. I love working with them too. And what's exciting about the kids menu, when we all worked together, we were all female producers. There was about 13 of us fundraising for this film. And, you know, we learned a lot through the process. And it's come a long way, and that's premiering this summer, and then it's going to hit the film festivals as well. But I'm really excited to star in her next film. I have another project I'm going to be working on. I was a producer of a film called The New York City Rooftop Story, and the director contacted me and now wants me to be in his next film. So you never know when you're working on a film when someone's going to call you back. So it's great that, you know, with all my hard work, not just in acting but producing, these directors are contacting me back to either audition or star in their film. So I will be starring in two upcoming films. We're going to be filming this summer and fall. I'm so excited. But, yeah, the project that will be coming out that I'm very excited about is Marshall. The director was Reginald Hudlin. And I have to say, Josh Gad, he's a huge actor breaking out right now. When I was filming Marshall in Buffalo, my hometown, in the Supreme Court, it was it's about a young Thurgood Marshall, the first African-American Supreme Court justice. He battles through one of his career-defining cases. We filmed that in Buffalo in one of the older courtrooms. And I think they were trying to find a location that took place in that era, and they were going to shoot it in Connecticut. So I was so excited, they decided to film it in Buffalo, and I got an audition with my acting coach, Frank Rossi, and I am in Marshall, and it's coming out in October. So you will see that in the movie theaters.
Yay, congratulations.
I got to meet Josh Gad, Kay Hudson, and Dan Stevens. But Josh Gad, oh my God, he is a hilarious actor to work with, and Kate and Dan as well. So I'm looking forward to that.
Great. And so I really enjoy following you on social media. I know all of Emily McKendry.
I enjoy following you too. You're so inspiring. I'm sure someone could write a book about you.
Oh, thank you, sweetie. And it's funny, I was literally going to say the same thing about you. I feel like you, you know, are very empowering and motivational and encouraging on your social media. And so how do you keep such a positive attitude and such an optimistic attitude in your life?
Well, the same thing from the other question. I really do believe in how I was brought up. And I think also my grandmother was a painter, and she traveled all over the world, and then she settled in Buffalo, and she was an artist, and she was never around, and her husband, which is my grandfather, I never met before I was born, he owned a business in Buffalo. The Buffalo Bills actually just bought our family business building, believe it or not. They sold it, but I would say a lot has to do with my upbringing and just my parents were always busy and never around, so I think I became very independent and just always worked hard. And I would say, as far as spirituality and when you love what you do, you know, you just don't want to give up because you don't see yourself doing anything else. But I'm a strong woman, and I think it's just from starting at a young age in this industry and also in sports. I've always been very competitive. When somebody, you know, rejects me, I realize, you know, people can't take that personally. As an actress, you know, it's timing, it's luck, and it's also your look, but it's also talent as well. So even though I go into an audition, I might nail that audition, I might not look the part. They might want someone short. And I'm like almost 5'10". So you can't take it personally all the time. And I think the more you're in this industry, you realize that and you just laugh and you work on, you're like, all right, the next one. To me, it reminds me of sales in a way. If you're a good business person, you can understand the business. the more you put yourself out there, the more you audition, the numbers game, you're bound to book something. And when you do, it's going to be the role that you want.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's really good and such powerful advice. And so what is a professional or personal goal you are working towards this year?
I would say right now it's the two new projects I'm working on. Because I only produced three films, I started out with a short and a feature. This was a couple years ago. I took a break from producing to just work on my acting. Mm-hmm. But as a female producer and working on the kids menu, it has motivated me so much to work on my acting coach's next film and star in it. So I'm excited mm-hmm. to work on two projects where I'll be starring in it. So I would say my goal right now is to continue to book, you know, more leading roles in films and also produce and continue, you know, booking film and TV. I continue to book more film than TV. So I would say my goal is, you know, TV. But it's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we all are typecast as actors in the beginning and more TV in the beginning, and some do more movies, but I can't complain because I love movies. I love working in features.
Right, definitely. And so as we wrap up our time together, and you know I could chat with you all day and all night because I just really enjoy your company and I enjoy your conversation, please share with everyone how they can stay updated with your happenings on social media and how they can also book you for any upcoming events, films, and projects.
You can go to my website at emilymckendry.com. You can also check out my IMDb page, movie database, and also my Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. Instagram and Twitter, Emily McKendry, and also Facebook as well, Emily McKendry.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Emily, for your time today. I really enjoyed this interview with you, and congratulations on your feature films and all your projects that are coming out. I'm so proud of you, and I feel like the best is here and yet to come.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Our next song of the night is Music City Walls featuring Bart Orr with their Magic cover. Keep listening to the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio.
Such a precious soul. you're all I need. All I want, baby. Don't go nowhere. Stay right here forever. Stay right here forever. Oh.
Hi everyone, it's Sade Champagne here, and I hope you have already gotten your tickets to the Walls Group Latitude Tour. I had the pleasure of getting an exclusive behind-the-scenes interview with the Walls Group on their Latitude Tour in Los Angeles, and we were able to have them on our Season 3 premiere of the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio. This phenomenal tour is absolutely amazing. I have attended many concerts in my life, including Prince's Musical Tour back in 2004, and the Walls Group Latitude Tour is definitely in my top three tours of all time. These Grammy-nominated Billboard-charting gospel artists are signed to Kirk Franklin's Fo' Yo Soul Recordings in association with RCA Records and releasing their newest studio album this year. They have hundreds and thousands of fans around the world, with their videos garnering millions of views. You can go to thewallsgroup.org/tour. Once again, that's thewallsgroup.org/tour to get your tickets to this concert. And also, if you want to book them and bring them to a city or event near you, email book@thewallsgroup.org. That's book@thewallsgroup.org. They're coming to Georgia, St. Louis, Louisiana, Virginia, Texas, Orlando, Miami, South Carolina, Tennessee, Washington, D.C., Michigan, Minnesota, and more. Make sure you go to thewallsgroup.org/tour. They have been Sade Champagne approved.
The Living with Fearless Joy segment on the Sade Champagne radio show features Rick and Melissa Wood, who run a ministry called Fearless Joy Ministries. Rick and Melissa have a passion to see people free from religion, free from fear, and living lives full of freedom and full of joy. Melissa has authored a book titled Eliminating Fear: How Removing the Fear of God Leads to Removing Fear in Life. If you would like to book Rick and Melissa for any speaking engagements, conferences, or to talk about eliminating fear, you can reach them at the website eliminatingfear.com. Just make sure to go to the Contact Us page where you can get more information and you can communicate with them personally.
You can find Melissa at Melissa Joy Wood at Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And you can find Rick at Rick C. Wood at Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And right here on Grindhard Radio on the Sade Champagne Show.
Welcome back to the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio. Our next segment of the night is Wellness Made Simple. Join certified holistic life coach, clinical aromatherapist, and inspirational speaker Veronica Escobar Winters to get some easy and practical tips on how to start living a more holistic life, bringing unity to your mind, body, and spirit. Hashtag Wellness Made Simple to ask her your health and wellness questions and join in the conversation.
On the Wellness Made Simple segment on the Sade Champagne Show. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope everybody is having an amazing day. Today on Wellness Made Simple, I'm going to talk a little bit about the importance of using chemical-free makeup. That's the importance of using chemical-free makeup. With so many fun and amazing makeup products to choose from out there, unfortunately, a lot of makeup lines aren't very careful of what they choose to put in the ingredients and can be potentially harmful for our health. But the good news is that there are a lot of products out there that are aware of what they put into their products and look out for not only how we look, but what we put into our bodies. All makeup products, from foundations to setting powders, contain a great number of chemicals, some of which may even be dangerous to our health. The way certain chemicals in makeup interact with our skin can lead to skin dryness, flaking, and even allergic reactions. But that's to say the least. What is really concerning is the fact that these chemicals have the ability to penetrate the deeper layers of our skin and enter our bloodstream. If these chemicals happen to be toxic, then chronic exposure to them present a significant health risk. Whatever we put in our skin doesn't just stay on the top layer. It actually penetrates to the deepest layer of our skin and enters the bloodstream. So these chemicals that are in the products enter into our bloodstream. That is pretty concerning to me, if you ask me. Some of the ingredients in beauty products aren't that pretty. U.S. researchers report that 1 in 8 of the 82,000 ingredients used in personal care products are industrial chemicals, including carcinogens, pesticides, reproductive toxins, and hormone disruptors. Many products include plasticizers, which are chemicals that keep concrete soft, degreasers used to get grime off auto parts, to name a few. Imagine what that does to your skin and to the environment. With that being said, I wanted to share some ingredients to stay away from and what they are. The first one is cadmium, a soft bluish white metal that studies have linked to kidney failure, bone disease, and even cancer. Researchers believe that it becomes toxic at levels well below limits set forth by the World Health Organization. The next one is benzophenones, used in products such as foundation to protect against UV light. This chemical can cause allergic reactions such as skin rashes and even anaphylactic shock, which is found in lip balms, foundation, nail polish, fragrances, shampoo, conditioners, hairspray, and baby sunscreen. The next one, I'm sure you guys have heard of this one. It is parabens. These chemicals are added to cosmetic products to prevent bacteria overgrowth. Parabens are potential endocrine disruptors, and one study even found the presence of these chemicals in breast cancer tissue, raising further concerns. Parabens are commonly used in perfumes and colognes, but can also be found in shower gels, shampoo, conditioners, and lotions, to name a few. The next one is lead. Lead is a heavy metal present in a great number of makeup products, especially those with more pigments, such as foundation, eyeshadow, lipstick, and eyeliner. Lead is highly toxic when it entered the bloodstream, and it was found to cause neurological disorder, but also infertility and cancer. Lead is most commonly found in lip products, including lipstick, lip glosses, and lip liners. It is also found in hair dyes, mascaras, eyeshadows, blushes, and foundations. The next one is talc, a mineral used in powder makeup such as pressed powder foundation and blush, but also in liquid foundation. The mineral was found to be often contaminated with asbestos, which is a known carcinogen. There has been a large number of studies linked talc powder to ovarian cancer. Talc is most famously found in baby powders, but is also present in deodorants, feminine hygiene products, powdered eyeshadows and foundations, lipstick, and face masks. The next one is toluene, a paint thinner that studies suggest can damage the nervous system and lead to neurological disorders such as dementia. Toluene is found in several nail products as well, and some hair dyes. These are just a few chemicals that are found in makeup products that can be hazardous to our health. There is lots of great makeup on the market that has stayed away from these chemicals I mentioned and others as well. Some of the places I personally like to shop for makeup is at my local health food store. I know the company has carefully selected the products they choose to sell that are health conscious. Some signs you can look for that will let you know that you are choosing the best for yourself is by reading the ingredients. You can also look for the organic symbol, cruelty-free symbol, fair trade symbol, and listed on the front of the package the bad chemicals that are not found in them, for example, paraben-free, etc. Even though it does say that in the front of the package, your best bet is to read all of the ingredients in the back because sometimes they will still carry other harmful chemicals. You can also Google any of the chemicals that you haven't heard of or that you're not aware of just to double check to make sure. Throughout the week, I'll be posting some of my favorite makeup lines and products that I personally have used on my Instagram page. If you would like to stay in touch, you can find me on Instagram under Elevate Holistic Life, that's Elevate Holistic Life, or on Facebook under Veronica with a K, Esquivel Winters. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Wellness Made Simple segment on the Sade Champagne Show. Until next time, cheers to your health.
Our next segment of the night is Living with Fearless Joy. Join pastors, authors, and speakers Rick and Melissa Wood as they share tips and testimonies for living a life free from fear and full of joy. Hashtag Living with Fearless Joy to ask them questions and join in the conversation.
Hey guys, this is Rick and Melissa Wood from Fearless Joy Ministries, and we're really excited about being with you guys again on the Sade Champagne Show. We're going to be sharing a lot of things in our heart this season that have to do with living free from fear and full of joy. But tonight we're going to start off with a topic that's dear to our hearts, and I'm going to pass it over to Rick and let him kick this one off.
Hey everybody, good to see you again, air quotes. So excited to be on this season of the Sade Champagne Show. Tonight we just want to talk briefly about how to handle conflict, and specifically, you know, as we're growing and learning, Melissa and I have had to learn how to do this. As our theology, our beliefs about God, even some of our political beliefs and how we interact with the world, they change. You know, we learn things, we grow, and a lot of times for a lot of us, we are abandoning, if you will, some of our old thought processes, some of our old theologies, some of our old belief systems. And for those closest to us, oftentimes that will create an anxiety in them, a fear in them, as well as a fear or anxiety in us about being rejected by them. I you know, whether it's best friends or parents or things like this, we have this this symptom or this sickness, pardon me, in our society where when we disagree, we disengage, we disfellowship, we unfriend on Facebook, you know, all these kind of things. And so I think it's very important to learn how to manage ourselves when dealing with conflict and sharing beliefs. You know, I don't know about you listening, but I would guess that there's some beliefs that you are coming to believe or some things that you're coming to believe that you're kind of afraid or unsure about sharing with some people that are close to you. I know Melissa and I felt like that for a few years as we were pastoring our church, and we began to see things that God was doing that neither one of us grew up seeing, you know, specifically healing and having conversations with people that in our lives that did not believe in that. Having that conversation with my mom, and my dad dies of cancer. And so makes you nervous or maybe even fearful or anxious because you don't want to cast judgment upon them for believing differently and like you used to believe. And a lot of times we do that. In our zeal, we come across as arrogant and mean, and people don't, they put their defenses up, and they don't want to hear from us. So really the goal should be keeping and maintaining relationship, or as best we can do on our end. All we can do is take care of our side of the street. So before I keep going, Melissa, you want to add anything?
No,
okay.
Keep going.
So, you know, some of the things that one tip for me as you're talking is that remember that you can disagree without removing or distancing yourself in relationship. Now, as long as it's healthy. In other words, if you are in an abusive relationship with somebody and you realize that you're not going to be abused, that's you might need some physical distance from them. But just because you disagree about politics or theology does not mean that you have to distance yourself from that person who you disagree with. And they may want to withdraw from you. They may want to do that, but you, on your end, you cannot let that, if you will, you have to wrestle with those
negative emotions. Sometimes, you know, we're going to feel like we want to do that. We want to feel like we want to withdraw our love. We want to feel like we want to withdraw our approval. You know, I'm not going to hit like on that post because they'll think that I agree with everything they agree. You know, we get so worked up about that kind of stuff. So the first thing is just relationship is more important than agreement. And so if we can stay there, I think that begins to build bridges and help the door stay open for conversations to come when they do ask you, well, explain to me why you now think differently or why you think the way you think now.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite statements that Rick said there towards the end, is that relationship is more important than agreement. And a lot of times in relationship, the goal is to come to a place of understanding and not necessarily a place of agreement. You know, I want to understand somebody who thinks differently than me. I want to understand where they're coming from and why they believe what they believe. But I don't have to necessarily agree with them to stay in relationship with them. And it's so important to grasp that concept and make that shift in our thinking. Otherwise, we end up in just divided relationships all over the place. I mean, that's the reason we have thousands of denominations just in, you know, Protestant religion, Christian religion, because people decided they couldn't agree on something, so let's divide and start our own thing. So I think just understanding that relationship is the highest value, that is priority over agreement. One of the other tips that has been good for me is that as I've grown in my theology and as I've grown in my belief systems, I've learned that I want to value the good things that I gained in each phase of my understanding, in each phase of my growing theology, in each phase of belief system that I've gone through. Not everything is trash just because I learned something new. There is value in every phase that I've been through in life. There is value in every stage. There's value in every religion, honestly. There are things that we can take hold of and go, you know what, this is still good for me, and this is still something I can hold on to, and I can value that old belief system without continuing to agree with it and grow from it. And then all the things I've learned and grown from in each phase of my learning and in my theology just add to who I am today. And so what I believe today is a compilation of the good things from my past. Even though there are things I still don't believe anymore, I can value those things that I've been through and the systems that I've been a part of. So an example that I would give you, just to make it a little bit more clear here in what I'm trying to say, is that I was raised in a very conservative, fundamental background. And yes, I don't believe a lot of the things that I grew up believing. Like, for instance, they believed that women couldn't wear pants. And I obviously wear pants today. But they had some really high value for spiritual disciplines that I still hold on to today. And just, you know, making time for God in my life and learning to tune into Him and turn aside and hear His voice, those things are so important. And so I can value that from that time in my life, even though I still don't adhere to everything I believed back then. So hopefully that makes sense. I think that kind of thinking, where you can still hold value to some of those phases that you went through, helps you not become offended, bitter, or even resentful to the places that you were once a part of, or the churches you were once a part of, or the belief systems that you once adhered to. Because I've seen time and time again people move on to a new theology or a new belief and then end up resenting or feeling bitter towards what they once believed or the group of people that still believe that way. And that's just not healthy.
Yeah, and I want to add, as we get close to our time here in a minute, is, you know, this principle of nonviolent communication, and you can look up a guy named is Marshall Rosenberg, but he talks about, you know, just if you think about it, in our communication styles and techniques and what you see in the world, we have modeled this us versus them. And I understand that you can be on the two sides of an issue, but that doesn't mean that you are divided as a person, as people, I mean. So, like, we can have differing opinions, like I said before, and not be us versus them. That us versus them mentality and ethic creates, pardon me, I mean, it sounds harsh, but it really is, creates like a violence in our communication. We don't, what we label ad hominems, which means like a personal attack. We don't actually discuss the idea. We call the person a name. So, you know, you don't believe in that anymore? Well, I don't even think you're a Christian. And so instead of talking about the belief and asking clarifying questions, like, okay, you said this, what do you mean by that? Can you explain more? We are so quick to defend our version of the truth that we don't even take the time to listen and hear what the person may or may not be communicating. And there's nothing wrong with saying, well, I just see that differently. You know what? Let them believe how they want to believe. You're not God, you're not the Holy Spirit, you're not Jesus. And so it's not my job to convince or change anybody's mind, and it's not their job to change mine. In fact, most of the time in these discussions and arguments, that's, you know, the more triggered we get emotionally, the more we get afraid or violence begins to stir up in us and we want to retaliate and say something mean and get back at them, the less we are able to understand the other person's position and what they had to say, and whether we agree with it or not, we can understand them. And you know, that's, I've said this before on the show, the goal is not agreement, but understanding. And if we can get out of our minds that we have to force people to agree with us to stay in relationship, it will allow us to have peaceful communication, communication that is not violent, that we're not lobbing attacks at people. Maybe, you know what, I don't even care if somebody calls my ideas or my thinking naive or uninformed or not biblical, but don't call me names because of that, you know. So if we can avoid doing that, it'll go a long way as we talk about especially things that we're very passionate about and we disagree about. So I'm going to let Melissa wrap it up. There's so much more we could talk about. If you want to know more, you can hit me up at Rick C. Wood on Facebook and Instagram. Thanks.
I hope that some of that was helpful and encouraging, because all of us are always transitioning and growing and learning. Well, at least hopefully we are. And so we just really want you to have some tips and some tools to how to navigate relationships with people who may believe or think differently than you. So we hope you guys have a great week. And like Rick said, you can find us both on social media. You can find me at Melissa Joy Wood on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. And we look forward to talking to you guys next time.
Our final segment of the night is Charity Spotlight. This is where I highlight my favorite charities and nonprofit organizations that I work with throughout the year. Hashtag Charity Spotlight to join in the conversation and find out how you can get involved. Tonight, I'm going to be talking about the Los Angeles Dream Center's Human Trafficking Shelter. I have been involved with the Los Angeles Dream Center for many years now. I want to say since 2010. And since I found out about this organization, since I got involved with them, since I first attended a church service, my life has never been the same. I have never looked at church the same. I've never looked at people the same. I have never looked at fellowship and any other word you want to call it the same. They have radically transformed my life and encouraged me so much for the better. The Dream Center's motto is to find a need and fill it. Find a need and fill it. And the Dream Center is a volunteer-driven organization that finds and fills the needs of individuals and families alike. It was founded in 1994 by Pastor Matthew Barnett and currently serves over 80,000 people each month. And we do this through mobile hunger, relief and medical programs, residential rehabilitation programs for adults, and also a shelter for victims of human trafficking, transitional housing for homeless families, foster care intervention programs, job skills training, life skills counseling, basic education, Bible studies, and more. We work to meet people where they are at to bring them hope and a way off of the streets. And that is from their website, dreamcenter.org. So tonight we're going to be talking about their human trafficking shelter. Joyce Myers is one of the main people who helped to open up this floor on the Dream Center. And this was a few years ago. The program has grown tremendously since the past few years. There's always more that's taken place because the Dream Center, as I mentioned, is constantly transforming lives and serving over 80,000 people each month. So I'm going to play a couple of recordings about their human trafficking shelter, and that way you can find out more information about it and how you can get involved. The most important thing that they need are financial donations. That is the biggest help they need, but also if you're not able to donate anything financially, they also accept, you know, items from people's homes, whether it be clothes, whether it be books, all those types of things, whether it be toiletries, brand new toiletries that you're able to give.
whatever it may be, or even if it's your time, your energy, your resources that you can give, that is helpful as well. Once again, go to dreamcenter.org to find out more information. Listen in to these audio pieces about the LA Dream Center's human trafficking shelter.
The same mental trauma that a man comes back from war with is the same trauma that these girls have.
This is happening right here in our neighborhood, in our backyards.
And I was crying. I'm like, please, you gotta help me. This guy is gonna kill me. I'm like, he's gonna kill me. I'm like, I just wanna hold my babies again.
There are 31 locations in Los Angeles that take in stray animals. There is one emergency shelter for trafficked women. That's the Dream Center's Project Hope.
He cooked, he cleaned, he did everything. He took the kids to school. He knew the principal and the teachers. His kids were calling me mommy. It was just like this whole big fantasy.
I think the biggest misconception that I hear all the time is that these women choose this. And that is just the biggest lie that I think I've ever heard.
All of a sudden he's like, now you're going to pay me back for everything I did for you and your brat. The pimp came out. He picked me up by my throat. My whole face was busted open. It was just blood just dripping. My life just disappeared in the instant.
They service an average of 10 to 20 a night.
I was in the game for 2.5 years. I had nobody. I had no family. I had no help. I didn't know what happened.
Typically, when a girl's ready to get out, it is a crisis situation. She's hiding in a bathroom somewhere, and there's someone after her.
I just started praying, hysterical crying to the Lord, please help me. He's going to send me home in a box. I can't do this no more. I don't want to be on drugs no more. I want to hold my babies again. I want to feel their heartbeats again. Father, please help me. Please help me. My mom finally got a hold of me. He's like, listen, here's the number. You call this lady. I'm going to say I got 2 back-to-back dates. They're going to be 2 hours apiece, and I can get rid of him. So as soon as he left, I called Heidi. I'm like, listen, I got him to leave for 4 hours. She's like, don't worry. I have someone on the way right now. She's about an hour away. I'm like, what? She's like, there's no way we're going to keep you there. There is no way. She's like, don't worry. We got 2 security guards with her. Her name is Kyla. We're coming to get you. We're coming to get you. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. I'm like, thank you. So she comes rolling into the 7-Eleven. She airborne over this hump. Airborne. And the 2 cops are staring at her. And I just got in that car. I called my mom real quick. And I'm like, Mom, I'm safe. I'll call you later. I busted that phone all apart. And I gave it to her. And I just start crying. I'm like, thank you. Thank you so much for coming to get me.
They need to stay in the light and know God's grace in their life for them to really find out what's in the world for them. Everything will work out for their good if they just trust in God's grace in their life.
I'm still here 2.5 years later, and I'm taking pre-classes for college in the Dream Center. Kyla and everyone reunited me and my babies again for my son, my little one's 9th birthday. I haven't seen him in 4 years. I brought the Lord into their lives. I built that bridge that I've been taught how to do, and they won't stop talking about the Lord now. They want to go to church and everything else, and it's all because of this place. Dreams do come true.
That's what makes my heart beat, is seeing that happen in someone's life. I'll live for that for the rest of my life.
So here they can come and express through art and different type of work. It's important that they have a project to start and finish something. And
right.
So they work on these pieces, and we bring God into the art, and just the idea that God wants to recreate something in your life. And it's important, when everything in your life has been taken from you, to not only minister to people's need, but get back to minister to their potential. And that's what we're trying to accomplish here.
Well, and also just for people that have never had any kind of normalcy in their life, to actually be able to do normal things. And like you said, find a way to express themselves, because they've been so oppressed with fear, mm-hmm, that they've never really been able to express anything about them, creative or otherwise. So this is an important aspect of their overall healing. We can't just bring just spiritual help to people, because God has created us as spirits, but with a soul and a body, and we need to learn to bring that total restoration to the person.
Yeah.
Well, I see computers. What's this all about?
This right here is our computer lab. The girls can also utilize it for their college and their education and their high school programs, but also we're actually going to add more computers to this. We are going to start a program where literally we are going to reach out our interns every single day to girls in the escort business, girls that are lost, girls that are in slavery, and we are going to battle the online predators by
that's awesome.
Online warriors, spiritual warriors that are going to rescue them out of their life, let them know there's a safe place to take them in that will love them unconditionally, no questions asked,
that's
and at the
great.
Same time, really reach out to the community and get volunteers. And so this is going
it's
to be
amazing
an unbelievable
how many
place.
Ways we can help people if we just do a little bit of creative thinking.
Yes.
That's so awesome that you have these computers, so when they're not being used to educate people, you're going to have people using them to reach out.
Yeah.
To other people that are trapped in that kind of lifestyle and don't even know that there's a Project Hope that they can go to.
Oh, it's a totally full circle operation here.
That's amazing. So now we're going to actually see where the girls live in the evenings, and where they wake up in the morning, and amazing. This is beautiful, isn't it?
Can you imagine how beautiful this room is? I mean, some of these girls that come in, they were sleeping in literally dungeons, you know, in back rooms of these little things that were masked as businesses.
Right.
But they're sleeping in these horrible places on top of each other. And just being used as slaves, as people one by one would come in and use them. And now a gorgeous place, these kind of spa colors.
A room that's safe.
It's safe, and it's got that. Everything we did was intentional, from the spa tone colors to make it feel like nothing's institutionalized. Every room's different, and we want things to feel different, like individuality and a sense of just comfort that you're safe right here.
And you have how many rooms like this?
19 double bunked rooms, and then we have an overflow room of 12 people for emergency cases. So that's 50 people right here on the floor. And as we said, there's only 39 beds in the entire United States of America, and here there's 50 in one place.
You know, I've been in the red light district in different places in India and Africa and places like that where women are forced to be prostitutes in rooms many times smaller than this. And so the first thing that comes to my heart when I walk in here is what a difference this room is from the room that they've been rescued out of.
Yeah.
And so it's good to provide them with cleanliness and beauty and a place to sit and write, a place to store their things. It's just an amazing project. Project Hope.
It's exciting.
So glad to be bringing people hope.
Thank you to everyone who tuned in tonight to episode 39 of the Sade Champagne Show on Grind Hard Radio. Thank you for downloading, subscribing, and sharing my radio show. Next week, we have some surprise guests. This will be our Rising Artist Special. I'll be featuring some of my up-and-coming and longtime favorite artists who have turned their dreams into reality and are living this full time. We also have another new Living with Fearless Joy segment from my castmates, Rick and Melissa Wood. Thanks to Grind Hard Radio for the opportunity to create my own radio shows. Thanks to Travis Miller for creating and producing my theme song, and to Scott Swish for mixing the song. Thanks to Kata Mafiaso for helping me to create our brand new radio drop. Thanks to my celebrity guests, Amelie McKendry and Elvira Guzman. Thanks to my castmates, Rick and Melissa Wood and Veronica Escavel Winters. Our final song of the night is India Arie with A Beautiful Day. I'm Sade Champagne, and thanks for listening to my radio shows. I am forever grateful for your support, and I don't take it for granted. We'll see you next Wednesday from 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific time, right here on Grind Hard Radio.
Life is a journey, not a destination. There are no mistakes. Just chances we've taken. Lay down your regrets, 'cause all we have is now. Wake up in the morning and get out of bed. Start making mental list in my head of all of the things that I am grateful for. Open up my
your regrets, 'cause all we have is
releasing the stress. We were born to shine.